Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Alex Bregman getting his new deal. Kind of curious to get your thoughts on that.
When I talked to Jeff Luno last week down in West Palm, they know the analytics say that Bregman overperformed last year. There's going to be drop-off because they think he overperformed for what they expected from him. So he'll come back, and it'll be interesting to see how he responds to the questions of, hey, you're not as good as you were last year. What's going on?
Well, that's kind of why I like this deal. I think there's a good chance that was a career year. But even if he doesn't do that again, the number per year is pretty fair for what you're getting.
What happens if Jovich loses on Friday?
Yeah, after talking to both AJ and listening to Brad Powers, there's no chance.
Yeah, I saw about a half of Georgia State the other day, and not impressed. AJ's watched them several times, so I take his word for it.
You know what the thing is? They got a really good coach, but guess what?
You know that guy behind the bench at UH? Pretty damn good, too.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three. This thing is just flying by. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776, or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler. Today it's at Jerome Solomon, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776, and that's some of what you missed in the first 2 hours.
It's been fun.
It has, and it's flown by, which, not surprising, always fun doing a show with Jerome, and, you know, he just basically slides right into AJ's role of trying to humiliate me and does a great job of it. So I appreciate that.
But it comes from a warm place with me. AJ doesn't love you like I do, Fred.
It's funny. Nobody does. But Chase was asking earlier what were some of the hangouts for the Chronicle people back in the day. Well, when we were working downtown, there wasn't much there.
No.
Back then.
Yeah.
We would go to Warren's was kind of the go-to. And then they opened Flying Saucer, and so we started going there a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then they opened that place right across from us. I think it was called the State Bar.
Right, yes.
And a guy I went to high school was the bartender there. And so that kind of became our place for a long time. It's not there anymore. It was in the Rice Hotel.
Yeah, next to Sambuca or upstairs.
Yeah, it was upstairs from Sambuca.
Yeah.
But all that stuff came in.
But Warren's was always, solid.
Warren's was always there, and we knew everybody there, and on a good night. I'll tell you the other one we went to was Brewery Tap a lot. Because Jack was a bartender there. And, boy, if we'd get to 2 a.m., he'd shut the doors for us and we could stay for a while.
There's nothing better than having the place that will break the law for you. Actually, it's not breaking the law. They're not charging you.
Yeah, exactly. Now it's just
friends like sitting around having a drink.
Private deal now.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one of our coworkers almost getting in a fight there because he was doing a some guy said he was dating a girl who worked for Misclassified, and he was doing the Andrew Dice Clay. Misclassified? And the guy didn't think it was funny.
I did it.
And it wasn't really. And so I'm apologizing. I go, listen, he's just doing Andrew Dice Clay. He thinks it's funny. He goes, it's not funny. It's not funny. She works really hard.
He's like, yes, she did. I had a job.
And
for
I'm
her.
Like, okay, man, you gotta get out of here, dude. So
it's different now. We don't socialize much together unless you're on a road trip. And nowadays in journalism, you're almost always by yourself. There's not really group gatherings like there used to be.
It's unfortunate because we had a pretty good little group of people we hung out with back then that we liked. Mm-hmm. And we did a lot of stuff together, and whether it was on the road or whether, it was just, hey, man, you're downtown after a Rockets game, let's grab a drink.
Right.
Time, I guess the Astros were more the thing, but, I'd say like twice a year you and I get together and do something now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, it's pretty much the same as it used to be, minus all the people who were pains in the ass.
Yeah, the sports journalism world was different back then when I was younger and first getting into it. It just amazed me that, the Rockets would bring out beer to the media after every game.
Yeah.
They'd sit there and drink a couple of beers while they're writing their stories and filing their stuff before they leave the arena. I'm like, okay. And then the Astros, they're like, all right, it's beer time, game's over. Or you go down after the game is over and you go into the clubhouse into the manager's office, and he sits down behind his desk and pops open a beer and hands you one, and he drinks one and, you know, starts answering questions about the game. And they banned that.
Yeah, I think
banned all the good stuff.
One of my favorite things was I was at the Belmont the year that Smarty Jones was going for the Triple Crown, and Randy Galloway was at my table, the first time I met Randy. Mm. And so after the race, we all sit down to start riding. Randy pulls out a bottle of vodka, pours me a glass full of it, pours himself a glass full of it, and he's like, all right, let's write our stories.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I could get used to this.
Yeah, people messed that up. You know, like the Astros, and I guess maybe even all of baseball, but I know for sure the Astros, I think it's all of baseball now. They have a team rule, no alcohol in the clubhouse. And because, you know, back in the day when Ken Caminiti and Craig Biggio started drinking beer after a game, and then they go out to some bars and drink some more beer, then...
Oh, Caminiti, those two guys used to hang out at Sam's on Richmond, and there'd be nights we were just getting off work, and that was one of the places we'd go to occasionally, and those two had been at it for a lot, especially Caminiti, and you run into them. And the thing that always amazed me about Caminiti is how small he was. Like on TV, I mean, he had big arms and everything. He looked big.
He was solid, but he wasn't.
Yeah,
he
but
wasn't
you looked
he
at
gigantic.
You wouldn't look at him and go, "Oh man, that guy's a hell of a baseball player." You go, "Yeah, that guy's kind of a little person."
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
an Oompa Loompa.
But in teams used to drink beer and alcohol and stuff on their flights. I think most of them have banned it, or they have different rules on how they can drink it and stuff. Because Caminiti would drink like a 12-pack on a flight. from wherever he was going with the Astros game. So.
In my early days, I was a ball boy for the Rockets one year. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it was the same thing. They just had a whole bunch of beer there. The guys would drink beer at halftime. It's that they start drinking beer at halftime. Of course, they sucked at the time. But
and the smoking, drinking. Then they
stopped
doing beer, started doing cocaine. That was... Yeah, they're like, okay, we got to stop all this now. That was the mid-80s. It got totally out of hand, I guess. That was before I was covering the team. I can imagine covering a team where half the team's, you know, on drugs. And there was a time that half the Rockets were on drugs.
Oh, yeah. Well, and remember how many guys they had get suspended back then.
Yeah.
John Lucas would tell you all kinds of stories
about that.
3 or 4
in the same year.
Mitch Wiggins.
And
Lewis Lloyd.
Sweet Lou and Lucas. And, yeah, that was bad.
That's where they wound up with Bobby Reed playing point guard.
And without the drugs, they should have won a championship. The team was good enough to do that. I mean, it's just because even that one year, if Lucas was on that team, they could have given the Celtics all the Celtics could handle, you know. And he got suspended that year, and then two years later, the 86 team was on the cusp and, you know, got to the finals and like, okay, this team's gonna be all right. And the next year, Suspension, left and right. It's like, well, they never got it back. I mean, Mitch Wiggins came back a few years later and had a couple of decent little spots, but he wasn't the same player. Lou Lloyd.
None of those guys were the same. Were as good when they got off the drugs. It's just
what you're trying to say.
I'm saying they were never as good when they got off the drugs, but
they were better high.
Yeah.
Well, they were younger.
Well, yeah. And, you know, it is kind of a performance enhancer. For short bursts.
You don't need as much sleep, I guess.
Yeah, I guess not. Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of great stories from back then that never got out because there was no Twitter or internet or any of that stuff.
Yeah, you don't have to put them out. I mean, I've sat in the back of a truck at 3 o'clock in the morning at a bowl game drinking beer with a college coach whose game's the next day. Those were the days. And it wasn't, we weren't hanging out. I was just coming back to my hotel, and I see a truck of some guys sitting in the back of a truck drinking beer. And I was like, hey, coach. He's like, oh, I'm just hanging out with some fans. Here, have a beer. Okay. I did make it onto the RV with a college basketball coach who was afraid to fly, and he took an RV at a lot of places. He ended up getting in trouble for drinking with college co-eds.
Doesn't rhyme with Larry Eustace, does it?
I was going to say, the team he coached rhymes with Iowa State.
Yeah, man.
But he drank Miller Lite. I was going to tell you that, dude. yesterday when I was in the store looking at beer. I can't even drink Miller Lite anymore. There's so many beers out there now that's just so much better. And I'm not anywhere near a beer snob, but now it's like, now that y'all made me try some other stuff,
oh man,
now I can't drink regular stuff.
It's funny because, I mean, there's a difference between a beer snob and a beer nerd.
Mm-hmm.
As it's been explained to me, a beer snob will not drink anything but high-end craft.
Mm-hmm.
A beer nerd will drink it all the chances they get, but if there's no other choice, they're still okay with.
Yeah,
and I'm more on the nerd side, but you know the thing is, even at the sporting events now, Carbox got so much stuff out there now that you can.
They've got the Astro.
Yeah, the Crawford Bach is really good.
It's pretty good. Yeah,
and that is where you can slam that too. It's so smooth.
Yeah,
and you know, it's just there's so much good stuff. There's so many great breweries.
Of course, now I was in HEB and guys are like, hey, you want to try this beer from Conroe? I'm like, dude, I don't want to try nothing from Conroe.
It's B-52
all
out there.
All this beer over there, you want me to get some Conroe beer?
That's a good brewery, man.
I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying.
Is it B-52 or Southern Star that's up there?
Both.
Okay. That's what I thought. All right.
Yeah. Appreciate see, I don't love beer enough to put in the effort to research and learn all that there's just too much.
And the cool thing is, we get all the Carbach from Eric, and I live like 4 minutes from Eighth Wonder, and now they open True Anomaly down there, which is really good, which was a fun story about the Saturday I was spending down there meeting the guys who run it because we're going to do a beer collaboration together.
Mm.
And every minute that I got up to leave, somebody else big time walked in, like Eric Sandler walks in.
Mm.
So I start hanging out with Eric. And then Jerry Bowe and Josh Jordan walk in. Start hanging out with them. Then Aaron and his wife just randomly show up. And then our buddy Abel Rodriguez.
It's a hot spot. Huh?
Abel Rodriguez and his wife. And I hadn't seen him in 2 years probably. So I'm not leaving when he gets there.
Yeah.
And so, I wound up getting really drunk and wasted. And
Everybody's coming and going except Fred.
Well, and I got home and the wife said, I thought you were only going to stay for a couple hours. And I go, well, it was Aaron Shaw and Abel. You saw a tweet out about Abel. You should come now. She's like,
go to bed.
It's like, well, I wanted to do something. I'm like, well, go ahead. I don't care. I'm just going to sit here on a couch and drink some more. Anyway, and then I'm going to sleep like a champ on my mattress from Texas Mattress Makers. Because here's the thing, guys, and we're going to be out there in a couple weeks at the store in Katy, and you should come out because if you've even thought about getting a new mattress, well, if you haven't thought about it and you've had one for a few years now, you need to come out and do this. Because here's the thing, comfort, great pricing. Check out their collection of pocketed coil mattresses, including the Amsterdam, which is one used by professional athletes like the Sabercats, or you can get the London, which is what I have downstairs. So when I get kicked out of the bedroom, that's the one I use. And then upstairs, I have the Athens. So I love my mattresses from Texas Mattress Makers. That's why I don't get mad when the wife says, okay, you had too much to drink, you sleep downstairs. Fine. I got another mattress from Texas Mattress Makers. I'm good. And guys, you're going to save 50% from the minute you walk in because they make the mattresses there, sell them directly to you. They also sell them to a lot of retailers, so you may go to a retailer and be buying a mattress of theirs, not getting custom fitted, paying way too much for it. Why would you do that? And go and check them out. They're at 5026 East 3rd Street in Katy, or the original, 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. I'm telling you, Yuval and his crew are awesome people. And long after I'm out of radio, I'm going to be going to Texas Mattress Makers because it's the best sleep at the best price, guaranteed. Texas Mattress Makers.
This is the Blitz.
Oh, that sounds great.
On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And it's not quite Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman today. It's Fred Fowler and Jerome Solomon, but it's also now Fred Fowler, Jerome Solomon, and A.J. Hoffman, who checks in from Vegas. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going great. You'd be happy to know that Jerome has filled in the role nicely of making fun of me for the entire show. So,
oh, that's good news. Great to hear, Jerome. Good job.
Just trying to hold up the tradition there, AJ of the chair.
Oh, you do it well, my man. You do. I'm glad that Jerome remembered to show up today.
I am not kidding. If y'all had not got me on yesterday, I had no remembrance of saying I would be here today. I did not. It's hilarious. So, good shot there. I'm glad you called. So what time's your poker tournament?
I don't know if I'm going to play a poker tournament tonight, to be honest. If I do, it'll be around 7, which is like 9 you guys' time. So I've got a little bit of time if I do end up doing it. But I think I'm going to go drink some beer.
It's a good plan. So what's going on there today? You guys done with the Straight Out of Vegas?
Yep, finished up Straight Out of Vegas. And now I just got back to my hotel room. And now I'm back grinding on these games and kind of hypothesizing what's going to happen and trying to get ahead in the next round of games, however possible that is, at least get some groundwork laid for that.
So, by the way, halfway home on that 14 parlay from last night, because it was
there. You go. It was, came back for us.
Yeah, it was early yet for Prairie View. So
it was early yet.
Yeah. So I just need a little North Dakota State action here to get going. So.
They're doing okay so far. Yeah, so far so good.
I think they're doing fine. So. You got any plays that you gave out on Straight Out of Vegas that you want to give to the people?
Yeah, we gave out Arizona State -2. Brad and I both agreed on that game. I love it. I just think St. John's is kind of a bad team. I also think that if you're looking for a little extra on it, I think the over in that game is probably the way to go. So that's probably my two favorite plays for tonight. If you're into betting these really crappy CIT and CBI tournaments, I like Howard +12 tonight. So if you know, I don't know if you're that much of a degen, but if you want to stick to the actual tournament, Arizona State decides for me.
All right, cool. Well, go get some good beer. Are you going to hit a burger bar, or are you on the wrong side of
No, this is the first time I've ever been here and not been on the Strip. So now when I look out my window, all I see are mountains. there's not a bunch of lights and, you know, hubbub. It's just mountains. So it's a little bit weird, and I'm like basically in Henderson, so I don't know exactly where I'm going to go. I'm going to be like I'm just going to be traveling, walking the earth, hoping that I run into something good.
That's one of those places that keeps you trapped in that hotel because there's nothing else right next door and across the street, and not a lot of activity outside of the building.
Exactly.
A little old school Vegas. Well, enjoy it, my man, and I hope you hit some bets, and check in with us tomorrow and let us know how things go, and and tell the people how they can listen to the podcast.
The Straight Out of Vegas podcast. I basically just go to your podcast player and find RJ Bell, and he's got two podcasts: the Dream Podcast, which is where my college basketball podcast runs, and then the other one is Straight Out of Vegas. And you can, I think they do it where they take all the commercials out and it's like a 30-minute listen. They do a best of. So Straight Out of Vegas, you can listen there.
All right. That's AJ Hoffman. You know him. And he's in Vegas.
You know him. You love him.
Indeed. Indeed. Everybody.
Good luck this weekend, bro.
Yeah.
Knock all right, guys. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
All right. See you. All right. We're going to take a quick break. You know what? I got to give away another SHRP, though. So this is at 6:30. You know what? People do love me at the racetrack. I do have one thing going for me. I go out there and people
nobody
like
talks
me.
About your looks at the racetrack.
No, because I usually cash tickets and they're happy with that. So if you want to cash tickets, you can win a meet and greet for four people with me on Saturday, March 23rd from 7 to 9 p.m. at Sam Houston. Free admission, free buffet for you and your guests. And if you come out, if you want handicapping tips, you want a quick lesson, I'm happy to do it. And not only that, I'll give you a couple winners. And if you have to drive all the way from the Golden Triangle, I'm going to buy your first couple of beers. That's how cool I am.
Man.
All right. So
free food,
6:30, caller number 9. We'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 975.
ESPN 975. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hey, guys, if you haven't read the greatest gambling novel ever written, you can get it at JesusTheNovel.com. Available in Apple Books, Nook, Kindle, print, of course, and a really cool audiobook that was done by a lot of the voices you will recognize. Let's go to JesusTheNovel.com, get you one today, and let me know what you think. So far, so good on the responses. Got a real nice email today from one of our longtime listeners who hangs out at the track with us sometimes, who absolutely enjoyed it.
I'm ashamed I haven't jumped into it yet. I have it. Give me a week.
I'll be curious which characters you recognize.
I know it's going to be fun, so I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be definitely worth it. Hey, we mentioned The Sopranos earlier, and you didn't bring up that there's a movie.
Yeah.
And there are a few details out about it. So James Gandolfini's son, Michael, is going to play the young Tony Soprano in this movie because it's kind of a prequel to the series.
Which that news had been leaked, but I think that's pretty cool, actually. I don't know if he can act, but I think that's a cool thing.
He'll look like him. we assume. I don't know what he looks like. I've never seen him.
I haven't either, but Ray Liotta is in it, which I think any mafia thing of any sort now, Ray Liotta's in it.
This is not a mafia movie without him in it. And I won't say he's bad or anything, but he's not as good as he used to be. He was in something recently, and I was like, man, he's aged, and he looked fake. He looked like overmade up or something.
Yeah, so, you know what? I saw him in it was the movie where his kid kept getting he played a father, and the son was, God, I can't even remember it now, but he was a bad guy who kept getting arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And he was oh, I know what it was. He was running drugs. And, man, what the hell was the name of that movie? But it was a true story. And it was based on a guy who started the cocaine trade.
Oh, no. That's the exact movie I'm talking about.
And I can't remember the name of it.
It was about the pilot.
And then, of course, everybody screwed him over and took the business. And then he wound up in jail, and his daughter doesn't love him.
Arkansas somewhere, and opened and had an airstrip where he was flying planes and flying drugs.
Should have just stuck with the.
And the DA was letting him do it for a while or something because it was a fascinating story.
Yeah, it was, and I can't remember what it's called. Aaron, that's where you got to.
Tom Cruise plays the guy or something?
No,
I believe.
It wasn't maybe Tom Cruise. It was somebody pretty.
Are you talking about Kill the Messenger?
No.
That doesn't sound right.
I thought Cruise.
Blow. It was Blow. Thank you, Corbett.
Blow?
Yeah, which is an older movie.
That's not the movie I'm thinking.
Okay, you're thinking of something
different.
But I'm pretty sure it was Blow because I had never seen that before. But he looked old in that, and that was from 2002. Maybe you're thinking of the Chantix commercials he's doing.
No, the movie I'm thinking about is American Made is the name of it.
Okay.
And it is about that pilot.
And that's Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise played the pilot and who was.
But I don't know if Ray Liotta's in it.
Yeah, he might not have been. Like, it's something I saw Ray Liotta in.
Okay. Well,
did not look good.
It's George Young. It's about him and his daughter hates him. Johnny Depp. It was Johnny Depp.
Lamont says Liotta looks like a lesbian. What does a lesbian look like? that's not funny. I'm not laughing.
You know who else was in that movie? Pee Wee Herman.
Mm.
Paul Rubens. He was in that. And Bobcat Goldthwait had a role in that movie.
Wow.
And Penelope Cruz. Mm-hmm. She played a crazy. But, you know, she's hot. They're all going to be crazy.
Back then, she was particularly. Indeed.
Yeah. So that's a relatively old movie where he looked fake. He looked like. So now I got to wonder what the hell you were thinking of.
And it may have been something older, but I saw him recently and I was just like, whoa, he's not aging well.
No.
And he's been playing the same role for a really long time.
Yeah.
I mean, Henry Hill It's been in every movie that Ray Liotta has been in. It's the same character in all of them. But he was outstanding in Goodfellas, though. That was that manic thing that he brought was really well done.
That whole cast, really, in just the it's funny because I've had people tell me that saw Casino first that said, "Oh, Casino's better." I'm like, no, it's different.
Yeah.
But man, just the grit of Goodfellas, the pace of it, the music. Where you could just feel it going away.
The true story part. Like I watched it a couple of weeks ago, and as you do with stuff that you and I haven't seen in a while, I go down the rabbit hole and start reading the real true stories. Yeah. You know, the Samuel L. Jackson character. And I was like, that was a real guy, and that's exactly what happened to him. He didn't hide the truck like he was supposed to, and he went to some babe's house and they found a fingerprint of his on the stolen truck, and he was going to get busted, and they killed him. Real simple.
In Casino, the guy who basically De Niro was playing, several years before, I'd met at the racetrack in Santa Anita, had no idea. And then when I start researching, I was like, I met that guy. We sat and talked for a few minutes. That's always kind of cool.
And it's like, and even in that, when you see it in a movie, you're like, wait a minute, how's a black guy involved with all these mafia guys? Well, he was a bouncer at a club, and he was a musician, and got to know one of the guys, and became a friend of his, and just was a hanger-on, and he was part of the crew, basically, even though he wasn't anywhere near being a made man, or Italian, or Irish, or any of that stuff.
Well, didn't really matter because they killed everybody that was involved.
They were gonna die. Yeah. My man was like, "I don't want to." And it was a huge heist. I mean, and they pulled it off, and probably should have got away with it.
Yeah,
they really should have.
Anyway, just to follow up on it, the Sopranos prequel is going to be called The Many Saints of Newark, and it will hit theaters on September 25th, 2020.
It's a long way from now.
It is, and maybe that's an opportunity for you to go back and. Watch the series again if you haven't watched it in forever.
It was good stuff.
Yeah, I'm probably about due. I'm also looking forward to the Deadwood because they never finished that story.
Yeah, that one they kind of left you dangling a little bit.
So the Deadwood movie, I'm really excited about. I'm gonna go. I'll rewatch Deadwood again before that one comes out. Mm-hmm. And I haven't decided yet. I might actually go through and watch Game of Thrones again one more time before the season starts.
It was about a month or so ago. They ran a marathon through on
And I watched
HBO. I watched a lot of it, and it did amaze me. You know, like, man, so much happens in every episode of the great episodes. But even, I mean, there's just a lot going on. I'm like, wow. I would have thought that was over a whole season almost, and it all happened in one episode. I'd forgotten how fast-paced it can be.
Well,
as slow and with as much dialogue as it had, but just some great dialogue.
Well, the first 3 years, especially when they were still on the books, and technically they were in year four, but they had moved on a little bit. There's so much that if you're not paying attention, you miss really key stuff.
Yeah.
All right, before we go to break, I want to ask you about one other thing. Like, I love peanut butter. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I love whiskey.
Okay.
I love ice cream. I would not put peanut butter on my ice cream, okay?
No.
And I would not
necessary.
Put peanut butter in my whiskey because a husband and wife duo in California who run OB Noodle House and Bar 1502 in San Diego have created many peanut butter flavored whiskey shots for their people. And so now they have bottled the recipe and called it Screwball.
Peanut butter flavored whiskey.
The vegan and gluten-free boozy beverage. I was out at peanut butter whiskey. As soon as you got the vegan.
When you go vegan and gluten-free on it. And I don't know if I need gluten or meat in my bourbon now.
Yeah.
But telling me that it doesn't have it in there, you're telling me what kind of person you are.
Kind of out, yeah. Was recently awarded a double gold medal for best flavored whiskey at the New York World Wine and Spirits Competition.
Wow.
What do they know in New York? Screw them.
Their picante sauce isn't even made in Texas.
Now, if they want to send us a bottle, I will happily try it on air, but I make you no promises.
We'll volunteer our services.
But I got to be honest.
I don't know, peanut butter, but I don't. I've never drank anything that was peanut butter flavored.
I've had a couple peanut butter stouts, and you know, for some reason, it's just the flavor doesn't work for me in a beer. Now, That's one of my weaknesses, man. You put a jar of peanut butter in front of me,
you go to work,
and I will inhale the whole thing. And so, like, I buy peanut butter for the dogs. It uses treats, and I have to literally stay away from it, because otherwise, especially if I've maybe had a gummy or two, I'm gonna go and I'll just start eating that crap right out of the jar, like with a spoon.
Oh, no wonder you don't want any whiskey. You like it straight. Well, yeah. You don't want to mix it.
Well, I like my whiskey straight too. So there's that. But yeah. That's a thing now. Peanut butter whiskey.
Yeah, that doesn't get me going. Yeah. Not at all. And no. I'm experimenting with beer, you know, but I like my whiskeys as they are. I don't have to go hunting for better whiskey. I'm good.
Yeah,
what I drink.
Yeah. Well, I've got a whole bunch of new stuff you need to try.
See, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And some of that stuff is stronger I've got some
new whiskey lined up for you that I'm saving for you. So, should have brought it today.
Yes,
we could have sat here. Well, of course, I'm not drinking right now. So, all right, we're going to take a quick. There's only one segment left. I hate this. So, I'm just flying along and I look up and it's like, damn it.
Did you skip some stuff?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of stuff I didn't get to.
We haven't even got started.
All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz.
On ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Jerome Solomon filling in. And before we get to death, just want to take a minute to say thanks, Jerome. It's been a fun show. Always fun when you jump in here, and wish you continued success with both The Chronicle and with your new TV show.
Thank you. Houston Sports Show every Sunday night on Channel 2, 11:30. Record it. Watch it if you're an old head like Fred and can't stay up that late. But trust me, it's very fun, and we do something that nobody in town is doing, so it's quite entertaining.
Yeah, and Jerome and Lauren Leal are great on it. Barry has a spot on it, and despite people ripping me, I'm probably going to make another appearance.
Yeah, we'll have you back. Yeah. We'll shade you. We'll put you behind something.
Can I wear like one like my poker hat and cover up my face?
You can wear your hat, cover your face. We'll put the, you know, we'll blur your face out and we'll disguise your voice.
You don't have to disguise my voice.
Like your witness my
voice is protection. My voice is my best asset. All right, let's wrap this up with deaths, which I've looked through. First off, not to criticize you again on deaths. How does Frank Sinatra not make best deaths?
It's Frank Sinatra Jr.
Okay, so it's Jr.?
Yes.
Then how does he make any list?
Because he was still a celebrity.
Oh, get out of here with that. Arthur C. Clarke, science fiction author of A Space Odyssey.
Okay.
2001. Daisy. Tell me I'm about to die. He died in 2008. Walter Camp, 1925, had a trophy named after him. Bowie Kuhn, former MLB commissioner.
Commissioner Kuhn.
2007, dead at 80.
Yeah. Commissioner in the 70s.
Yeah. Back in the when steroids were first getting started. Probably died of steroids. Chuck Berry. Dead at 90 in 2017. Saw him in at Tahoe once.
It's hard to believe Chuck's dead. He's around so long and still grooving.
He was so drunk on that show. He was forgetting the words of the songs. Nobody cared because it was Chuck Berry. All right. March 14th, 1883. Karl Marx, German philosopher, dead at 64.
Wow.
He was not one of the Marx brothers.
No. No relation.
Although he would have been Pinko Marx, I'm guessing.
Yeah, different Marx. He's got the X. The K's.
Okay, fine. let's see. I'm not going to do any of the popes because they're all
there. Yeah. There's a bunch of them.
March 14th, 1932, George Eastman, the inventor of the Kodak camera and founder of the Eastman Kodak. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Shoots himself in the heart at 77. Who does that?
Suicide.
Yeah. Let's see.
There's a lot of that. Boy, that's
these all suck. Let's get to
nope. Sports.
Let's get to the best deaths. Here we go.
Best though.
March 15th, 44 BC. Et tu, Solomon. Julius Caesar.
Et tu.
Stabbed to death at 55.
Poor Julius.
March 17th, 461, St. Patrick. Probably drank too much on St. Patrick's Day. Yeah. March 16th, 1975, T-Bone Walker.
T-Bone.
March 14th, 2018,
Stephen Hawking, dead at the age of 76.
And...
You've been waiting a whole
time. No, I didn't know I did
to do that.
I forgot he was on there, Jerome.
March 16, 2019, Dick Dale, American rock guitarist known as the King of the Surf Guitar, dead at 81.
He was no Stephen Hawking.
He's all just right. Dick.
Now he's dickless. All right, let's just get out of here.
Yeah, it's great, way past time to go now.
Great job, Aaron. Great job, Jerome. I did okay. Stay sporty, bitches.